Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action. Welcome to the banks of the River Danube, at the border between Romania and Bulgaria. This is the last obstacle for riders as they enter their final country and start their approach to the Black Sea. We're at a small ferry terminal, it's early in the morning, and we find Megan Hakkinen sitting serenely amongst the trucks waiting to board.
I got like 3 hours of sleep, which was nice. I was so dirty. I'd bivvied like two nights out, and I slept at the control point. So I was like a hot mess. It was great to take a shower and everything like that. And the ride was actually pretty mellow. Lots of dog chases, though. Like, my voice, I think, is hoarse from yelling, like, go home, get lost. And it was really frustrating. I was like, this would be a nice, quiet road if it wasn't me and the canines.
How did you find the gravel parkour
on CP4? I sneakily bought some shoes.
Oh, yeah?
Because I have road cleats, and I knew that I would have to walk some of it. So I was just totally happy to hike a bike large sections and trot with my bike. And it's kind of hilarious taking road bikes on gravel parkours. Like, it's not a good idea, but it's something that can be done, we've proven. I wiped out once in a dramatic fashion, and of course, like, the pair team saw me, and I like literally went over my handlebars over the hillside, and it looked ridiculous, and I was fine, but it looked pretty bad. And they were like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Looks like you're going to cry. And I was like, that's just how my face looks right now. I'm just like really tired. They're like, you're so puffy, you know, your eyes look watery. And I'm like, I have allergies. I lost my clear lenses. I'm not going to cry. And they were like, okay, take care of yourself, Megan. Be careful. And I was like, God damn it. Like, how come I can't do this in private? Like, I'm alone in the mountains, and then two bikes come up. Like, why couldn't it just be the sheep and the, you know, the goats and the cows?
Many of the riders are feeling the effects of the gravel parkour, and Megan uses the time at the ferry terminal to fix the slow puncture.
Dominate the tire!
Got it?
Yeah. Yes.
Is dominate the tire a philosophy you've lived by for a long time, or is that a thing you've just come up with on the spot?
Yeah, it's what I live by. What is to live by? I have a really hard time with tires, even when I don't have crappy hand strength. Like, they're hard, man. And my boyfriend's like, don't use the spoons. You gotta get your hands in there. You can do it. And I'm like, I can't do it. Like, you don't understand. It's really tricky. And it's a tiny pump. So it takes a million pumps. Sometimes I count. It's like over 100. Well, there we go. Hopefully this stays and you don't see me again. But I'm really anxious riding tubes now. I'm like, everything is a threat. Mm-hmm. The world is full of debris and obstacles. It's tubeless. I feel very empowered. I feel like you guys are watching like half speed Megan. Not time trial action, Megan. Thank God I haven't had mechanicals, like, because it just would be really slow. I know it would be.
Yeah.
A lot has happened over the last 2 weeks, and there's still a whole entire day ahead of me. It's not like the finish is just around the corner. It's a country. Like, I haven't even been to Bulgaria yet.
Yeah.
finish?
Gosh, I think today I'll just be trying to catch up to the guys on the other ferry. And I honestly, I think I'll be lucky if I catch any of them. I would love to arrive at the finish at the same time someone else is there. That would be very cool. I have a really hard time around like the heat of the day, and I just stop at every single like market, and I get cold drinks and ice cream. So I'm going to try and keep that to a minimum and just really keep the momentum going and remind myself that this is, you know, the last day of the Transcontinental, and it's such a privilege to be here, and I'm going to get to sleep in a bed tonight, and I won't have to wake up in the morning and ride my bike. So, all right. Crack on, Megan. Nice to catch up with you guys, and yeah. Woo, new country. Okay.
See you in Burgas.
Yeah, see ya. Burgas and Burgas?
After control point 4, riders head due south in a sprint to reach one of the ferries across the Danube. The Romanian gravel has taken its toll on the riders' bikes and minds, and as the finish line gets closer, for some, it can feel like they will never arrive. We find cap number 127, Aidan Alcock, crouched next to a busy road just south of the ferry terminal, his tools strewn about the ground as he attempts to repair a puncture.
What happened?
I've forgotten my tire levers. I cannot believe it.
Is this the first puncture you've had then?
Yeah.
So, and how far have you come at this point? Over 4,000k?
Yeah. I cannot believe it. What a muppet. I never forget my tire levers, but I'm going to try and improvise. Yeah.
What is your plan?
Well, I'll see what tools I've got and see if I can fix it. Rubbish. This has got to be possible with the tools I've got, surely. Come on, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. But often we are in uncharted territory. That's how we learn. It's not good timing as well, in the middle of nowhere with trucks speeding by as well. But it always kind of happens like this. You never have a puncture where sort of next to the pub.
So talk me through what you're doing.
I'm levering the tyre over the rim. I only need to get it started and then we're in business. And we are in business. We are in business! Oh, I am so relieved that this is possible. My tyre's a bit of a mess, but it should last.
Also, edging closer to the finish, a pair 252, Stefano Aja and Teo Daniel.
It's the last day. It's a symbol of the last day for us. We are happy to be there, and it's time to finish this race.
Yeah,
it's been a long race, so we hope to finish today.
Nice.
Because one more night and another day, it's a bit too much.
How are you guys getting on?
Sorry.
How are you doing?
A bit exhausted, yeah. A bit tired. We didn't have much sleep.
Okay.
We ride to there in until 5 a.m. We arrived here at 5 a.m.
Oof.
And we went through the night. And it was nice, it was hot. So, I think it's better than riding during the day.
Mm.
And we were not on a rush like at the last minute. Oh shit, we're going to miss the boat or something like that.
You want to sleep, I tell you. Just 5 kilometers, but it was 10. It's only 5.
He's cheating me. he's giving me wrong numbers. But
the last kilometer, he was, it's long.
No, it's okay.
And how's your ride been since CP4? How did you find the parkour?
The CP4 was interesting. It was very nice. It was nice to climb on the road, rolling down on the gravel. A lot of hard packet gravel, so it was kind of easy. There was just some sketchy part, but we could always find a good trajectory in the descent. The last part is very destroyed, but you can manage to take your time and ride it properly.
Mm.
Since we left the parkour, we had a lot of stop because we were like completely destroyed by the parkour. But finally, we managed to get there. We had some good wind for a few time. Theo was in shape, he was feeling good, and he took the lead for like more than 250k. He was just,
that is one hell of a pull.
Yeah. We made it, you know, on time, easy. We could take some nice sleep next to the border control. Not much sleep, but it was nice.
Yeah, yeah. And how have you guys worked together since your little bit of a drama in the Alps?
Oh, we had another drama after that.
Oh, did you?
At some point we were not on the same page, and we split again for like a day again.
But during this day we ride really fast.
Yeah, but this day we were fast. But at the end of the day we decided, yes, let's talk about what's happening, and everything is better than before. So it's important to don't forget that during a TCR we are exhausted and sleep deprived, and sometimes one of us need a bit more time for break than the other. So it's hard to regulate our rhythm over the race. So this is very very challenging. I didn't expect that to be this much challenging personally.
Welcome to the Black Sea, on the eastern edge of the continent. 2 weeks ago, the riders of the TCR started their journey over 4,000 kilometers away in Belgium.
Hi, my name's Rory Kemper. I work for Apogero, taking care of partnerships, and I used to be a race coordinator at Lost Stop. We are at the finish line of TCR number 8 that's located at the end of a drive that leads to the beach. It's highly Instagrammable with a large neon green heart. So it's been quite a pleasure watching all the local tourists coming in the evening to take their photos at sunset, surrounded by very smelly and tired cyclists. We've got a couple of cooler boxes full of ice and some soft drinks and some beers. The first thing, well, a couple of things people firstly they say is like, is there somewhere for me to shower? Because absolutely, they're kind of obviously feeling the sweat stains. So they normally come in feeling pretty high that they've got here, they have a beer, they start kind of telling us everything that's happened. And then probably 20 minutes later, they hit the wall and suddenly it's tears, there's like a bit of emotion that comes on.
Yeah.
They wander off on their own, then they come back, and then they like starting to process the fact they've tackled the TCR and have finished it.
Cap number 14, Amurai Kuna, sits in a coveted patch of shade at the finish line. Now that efficiency and order are no longer needed, her bike and kit spread out across the ground in a gloriously chaotic pile.
My body tells me I'm okay, my mind is a bit in a weird state. But I just wanted the race to finish today. Like, another day of racing would have been horrible, I guess, just for the mind. I was alone for quite a long time. And then the CP4 parkour was just really exhausting me to an extent where I was just like not able to be happy about the race in that moment. No, I was very happy to see people. As I said before, I was alone for quite a long time. And I cycled two nights through, so I was very exhausted. And seeing people just gave me a kick of energy. I got really hyped. And I really enjoyed staying here and chatting with all the people. And I think it's nice to be here like in such an early point, because you get to like really meet the people and it's not too much traffic around here. It's really nice. Well, I kind of got to the state where I saw my personality change or break down. Like, I would not behave as a normal person because I was too tired. So I would get into really, really weird emotional states. So it kind of expanded how I look at myself, like what kind of mentality I have without knowing it. Also expanding some barriers, like the fear of dogs, racing, competing.
Yeah, because that's quite a new thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I just did one race last year, but more out of fun. And I wanted to do TCR also, just like trying to finish. But then eventually people tell you that you're second or third woman, and then you just kind of want to keep the position. And don't want to get eaten by other people. I heard that it's not that regular that many female finish in the upper positions. So I'm happy if more people do it, so I'm happy if I did it. And also overall it's just a good feeling to be in the first part of the races. Finishing.
Yeah, top 20.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild. That must just feel amazing.
Yeah. Also, I started at position 42, 41, I think, at CP1. And then it would go down eventually to 19, and I said at 19, which is really nice. The feeling is probably about the same wherever I finished. Just very happy. Who's coming?
It's Michael Broadwith just coming in.
Ah, nice. I met him.
He's got the record for Land's End to John O'Groats in the UK.
For what?
Land's End to John O'Groats, the riding the length of the UK. He's got the record for that.
Crazy.
Yeah. And you finished ahead of him.
Just. I would have a snack with him at a gas station like 3 days ago. Well, getting to know the community is one thing. It's just like being part of the social side of it is really cool. But ultra distance cycling is just what I feel necessary, or what I feel is necessary to sustain whatever you want to do. Like, if you want to get rid of your car, then you should get used to ultra cycling and just do it. So in that way, it's more like supporting my point of view.
As riders arrive, they start to gather around the finish line, reuniting with new friends made on the road and sharing stories. Among the crowd are friends and families of riders, anxiously awaiting for their loved ones to finish.
So my name's Kate Ellis. I am the proud girlfriend of Andrew Brunton, cap number 81. It's been 2 years of solid commitment to the cause, but watching the dots themselves has been compelling, inspiring on so many levels. I can't even put into words. Words don't do him and everybody that's been a part of this justice. I have no doubt that the man is going to be half the man physically and mentally than he was when he started. But they always say the man who starts the race is not the same person who finishes the race. And I think that that's really true. So, yeah, I'm feeling nervous, excited. I hope he comes over the line with a full heart and no doubt broken, but just unbelievably proud of himself and everybody else. I don't think words do it justice, do they really? He told me, and I'm sure many riders have said this or certainly experienced it, if not said it, you think that you've gone to the very depths of your soul and then you find another level. And I certainly, that resonates with me a lot, and I can see it in Andrew every time we talk. He thinks he's been to the depths of his soul and back again. And alas, there is another level deeper. And I think when you show up for anything in life and you just give it everything you've got, I feel like there's no other better feeling. It takes you to different places, doesn't it? It makes you think, if I can do this, I can literally do anything. So I think that it takes people to a really special place that a lot of people will never go to in their whole life.
You must have been in constant contact with him, I guess, or have there been long periods where you haven't been able to hear anything from him?
In and out. I've just been watching the dots and just refreshing. And obviously his family have been messaging me, his battery's low. And you think, I know, I'm watching, stop. My anxiety levels are through the roof. Andrew told me he had a really special moment after the parkour 3 that was really intense. And he said he got to the top and he felt broken. And he saw a German guy standing just sobbing his heart out, and he said, I just went up and gave him a hug, and he said, and then I started to cry. And I thought, Andrew's a very shy, in sort of, you know, very internal person, and for him to want to express that love for somebody else because you just get it, I think is really special. So yeah, just hats off, admiration beyond words to every single person that's done this, because it's unspeakably amazing.
And what's your role been in this? Have you had to step in and give him a pep talk at any point?
It's a great question. I'm not sure if I've been helpful or really not at all. I don't think there's anything you can say at times. All you can do is be there with an open heart. Every single individual has got a part to play, and it makes it what it is. So may the journey continue forever and always from this very moment and beyond, I think.
Have you like imagined the moment when he crosses the line, what that's going to be like?
I can't imagine it. It's wild, isn't it? I have no idea, but I've been feeling incredibly on the edge of my seat all day. When he told me he was 35k from the finish line as we stand right now, I was thinking, I don't know what to feel, and I can't imagine what he must be feeling. And he said, I've got nothing left, the wheels have come off, but I'm carrying on.
For a beer. He's going for an export.
Probably just going to sip it and be sick.
Isn't that the first beer you've drunk in 2 years?
Is this his first beer in 2 years?
Literally, the dedication.
I haven't drunk in 2 years.
It's beyond measure. So proud of it. Let's go. Yeah. Do you want me to tip it all over you? Is it too soon to ask, would you recommend it to a friend?
Yeah, I would actually.
Yeah, that's what we
do. How was the support from Kate, from home?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, I think that
Yeah, it's just really, it's a total team effort, right? So everything is just, it's me on the bike, but it's a complete team effort.
And understanding and stuff. Like.
I never thought I'd be looking at calories of space meals at 4 o'clock in the morning.
That was actually one of the winning, that was actually one of my winning things that I did in the TCR, was I carried 2 emergency dehydrated food packets. And like on a couple of mornings where I actually have my best days, where it's like I want an extra 1,000 calories for breakfast, just pour some cold water into it, give it 5 minutes and then drink it. And that was actually really good.
Tasty.
The control point at the finish has a parkour or section of mandatory route that riders must complete in order to get their final brevet card stamp. Cap number 27, Michel Font, had some routing issues on the parkour that left him facing some questions.
Hey man, how are you doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. And what's been going on?
Apparently I made a mistake routing, so I routed straight out to the finish and never saw the finish parkour, so I didn't have that on my planning. So eventually I joined the parkour somewhere and got here. And just when I got here, so all the long faces and the weird vibe going on, and they told me I the parkour up. I sort of try to go back. So yeah, I'm not sure what's going to unfold. I finally got around with Komoot to see what I have to do. It's something around 90K.
Okay.
Back and forth. Honestly, it's more a philosophical question, you know, like the trip is already my trip. What was done, it's been done. I one stamp more, one stamp less. Doesn't mean the world to me, to be completely honest with you. I'm just gonna take a rest and figure it out if the stamp is really that important to me. Because what happened already happened, the transformation, the journey already happened. And yeah, I mean, I have a brevet card full of stamps, you know, I haven't taken it out. I found it among a bunch of papers that have no meaning, absolutely. I guess it's more about the memories and the journey and whatever personal reflection or whatever you pulled out of it. Not sure, mate. Honestly, it's I think it's pretty interesting to find myself in this position. I guess two of the biggest thoughts or reflections I've been pondering is one, this whole solo and self-supported modality of doing things. It's really great and interesting, but for me, it's shown me the contrast of how much we need each other, how much does community means, and how much closer doing this by myself has put me to the ones that love me, to the ones that care for me, to the ones that I didn't know care for me and have been very present throughout the journey. And the other one, I guess, it's transcending. Transcending the self-sabotage pattern of things. I yesterday had sort of like a time trial to the ferry, and in the meantime my body started sabotaging the whole trip. I got a pretty bad diarrhea out of nowhere. I've been struggling with every kind of issues throughout the journey as well, medical. I yesterday realized it was my choice whether to make it or not. If my body is trying to sabotage, that's coming from somewhere in. And in order to get rid of that pattern, you have to push through it. And that I don't know, I think I went a very roundabout way. But those are the main conclusions. An extra stamp, does it really make a difference to me? Stamp or not, the transformation happened, the learnings have been happening. That's all I can say.
We met Daniele Fonelli at Control Point 4. He's one of this year's fixed gear riders, making it an extra achievement to reach the finish.
Feels tired.
Really?
Today was the fastest ride of all the race.
A beer?
Yeah, definitely.
I think we can make that happen for you. You deserve it.
Super. Yeah. Not enough.
Do you want a bigger? There's actually a bigger can. If you want a can.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get wasted now.
I would say that fixed gear changed my perspective of life. I start to see everything from the bike. Riding bikes in general, I think, made me a better person. I stopped smoking, I start to ride bikes, I became a better person, for sure. And people that know me also can say that. Yeah. I kind of stress out all my bad feelings or my bad moments riding bike. And fixed gear also, like, it's because of fixed gear. Fixed gear is one gear and like nothing very hard to manage. Riding fixed, I start to get in touch with a lot of people. I start with a forum that we have in Italy, that we had in Italy. I start with this, and then I start to race Alicat, start to race Criterium, and then like 3 years ago, I met a guy during the Critical Mass, that he told me, I've done this race, Transcontinental, it was so great. And I was like, what is this? Let me check. I went home, like as usual, I went on the web and I see Transcontinental, ultra distance race, blah, blah, blah. So I say, okay, that's great. Let's try to apply for this, because I like to make long distances. And I start with the application of the Transcontinental. And from there, I've been training, do other races. I enjoyed it, so.
Do you think riding fixed gear is a drawback? Do you think it's a disadvantage?
Yeah. Descending and climbing, it's way different with a road bike.
Yeah.
So
you do this purely out of love?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not for the ranking at all. No. It was just to demonstrate myself and everyone else that fixed gear can make Transcontinental. Fixed gear can make 4,200 kilometers in 10 days, 11 days, what else?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I have a call.
Oh, yeah.
Pronto, mamma!
Stefan and Theo were the first pair to roll into the finish. But behind them, the race was hotting up between Richard and Samuel Gates and a pair that had been gradually catching them. 256 A and B, American Jonathan McCarthy and Kiwi Christopher Dunand.
So it's been such a long time waiting for the event to finally to finish and say that I've been able to cycle across Europe is pretty big.
And to do it so early with regards to the finishers party is quite frankly fantastic.
Yeah. I'm really happy with how we've ridden it. In comparison to previous events, we've done a lot more mileage each day and we've been consistent and we've not really had any bad days up until the trouble we've had on the final day yesterday. So yeah, I'm really happy with how we've ridden it. I'm just relieved to finally get here and not have to ride my bike anymore, or for a while anyway.
Glad it's all over.
Yeah, glad I don't have to sit on a saddle anymore. I'm just quite tired, really.
How does that kind of compare with the stuff you guys have done previously together?
Pretty similar, I think. I'm probably more fatigued just because it's a longer event. The previous event we did together was 9 days rather than 13. Physically, I don't feel much have any more pain, as it were, or any discomfort. I'm just more fatigued, more tired, personally.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference this time was we seemed to, whether it was my routing or just the geography of the checkpoints, seemed to be a really busy roads throughout, and we found that really quite difficult to work as a pair and communicate and talk, just talk and pass the time. When we got to the quiet roads in Slovenia, wasn't it?
Yep.
The first day that we found that we kind of really enjoyed, and we're riding together side by side rather than, you know, drafting each other and shouting back and not hearing each other. So yeah, that was very different to previous races.
It was never really the plan of mine to get into ultra racing, but given the 2 years of postponement, I had no other. Well, I had options, I guess, but I had no other excuse not to do some events in the build-up for it and to train for it. The positive outcome from it, I definitely did get a lot more experience in the ultras and things. And I was saying before that I don't think I would have completed this event had I not had that extra 2 years. Having the experience of doing all the races, learning how to ride them, I'm pretty sure I would have scratched days ago.
What's the best thing about riding together?
It's a shared experience. You can you know, point out things and go, oh, look at that, that's cool, isn't that? You know, you can talk about things. I think you can share that experience. I don't think it's definitely more stressful. You've got someone else to worry about, and you've got to think. What are they thinking?
I mean, I don't mind riding on my own. I deal with loneliness quite well. Sometimes quite enjoy it, but it's nice to have someone to ride with, of course, isn't it? And he'll be able to remember things that I can't, which at my age is quite common.
Yeah. Talk me through the pink kit. Like, where did that come from? Where is it?
So the pink kit is the Alba Rosa jersey, and it's simply the colours of our local club that we ride with in Leeds. So Alba Rosa is based in North Leeds. It's Latin for white rose, and white rose of Yorkshire is the symbol of Yorkshire. And the kit just happened to be pink by the people who founded the club.
Yeah. Does Alba Rosa think that you guys are like their sort of like pro team?
Well, we have tried to introduce other people to the ultra scene. So started by Dad last year. Yeah, last year we started the Alba Ultra, which is a bit of a mini ultra event, around 400 miles, 650 kilometers. Generally sort of 9-10 checkpoints, similar kind of style to TCR, but smaller, just to give other people a go in a bit of a sort of more accessible environment, I guess.
I found that ultra racing isn't that accessible to normal club riders, because actually there aren't that many events, and there's Audax, I guess, is the nearest equivalent, but the Alba Ultra was designed as a taster for people who were curious about doing an ultra event, and it allowed them that access.
And looking just back at the race, the past like 24 hours must have been pretty hectic for you too. Like, you know, you fighting for that second and third position. Can you just talk me through like what those last like couple of hundred kilometers were like?
Well, we saw that they've been gaining since Serbia, and wondering how on earth are they actually catching us, because we're doing pretty big days. They must not be sleeping as much. Turns out they haven't been sleeping at all. We wanted to make the finishers party. That was the aim. And we came in with injuries and things like that. So the finishers party was the aim. Anything else was a bonus, essentially. So I think we checked the tracker in the morning to see where they were and realised that they caught us up for the ferry for the final day. And then decided, okay, we'll ride our own race. We're not going to bother checking the tracker. We're not going to chase them. We'll just see what happens. We had a pretty rough final day. It was quite hot, so we had to stop for the heat for a little bit. I didn't have the best stomach in the world as well, so I had a bit of sickness that final day. We got unlucky with a few punctures as well, and I think we were about 9 minutes behind at the finish. So all those things together, we were 9 minutes behind the the pair who came second, and yeah, caps off to them for the ride they did, because they chased us hard, and they deserve that for what they did.
They did a storming ride, and I think if anything, they really wanted it more than we did. So yeah, they deserve it.
I think we were aiming for a top three at the back of our minds, and running in third for quite a while, and this pair running ahead of us, we were using different routes as well, so it was really interesting, you know, to see where it was all going to collide. Just unexpected finish. Never thought we'd fight them on the last 50Ks.
Mm-hmm. When did you think, oh, we've maybe got a shot at this?
I think I watch more cycling than Chris does, so I was kind of thinking, I was kept like talking to him, like, what are we going to do? Like, how's it going to play
cycling,
out?
So yes.
Like, are we going to look at them? Are we not going to look at them? Are we going to like chat them up and try to like be like benevolent competitors? Or are we, you know, going to say some derogatory remark and then just rush off? So I think it had been fun to kind of replay that scenario or envision what it might be like in the future. I think there was some very rudimentary math trying to figure out like if it was possible. At some point, we had to stop watching the dots and just ride as fast as possible to see if we could get the job done.
What's your cap, 78?
To be honest, it was fairly unimaginable to do it. Not to, you know, make it sound like we did an impossible job, but because that parkour took us longer than we thought, as with many others, probably most. But we got there late. These guys were well ahead. They were aiming straight for the good ferry. We basically knew that it was not possible to get that same ferry, so we ended up having to get the slower one, which is further away. And then we got there sleepless to get to the ferry. We started the 350K ride sleepless. They started the 300K ride, I think with 3 hours is what they commented. So we're like, I mean, I don't even know if I really want to compete for this, you know, like we might just be breaking down for no good reason. But as the day progressed, I mean, Jonathan somehow got energy from some sort of god. I was breaking down in the morning. I had to take two naps, but then by like I think the start of the afternoon, the power just came out of nowhere, and we were crunching so hard that Jonathan broke his rear derailleur cable, and we had to sit him with a single speed set up for the last 150Ks.
What was it like coming through that final parkour down to the finish, and when
nuts.
You got here?
It was nuts. I was the person who was like using my phone more, and I kept seeing like chomping away. It was nice to know where the ferries were. I think we were 52K and like 300 meters of elevation more than they were. So we could see as like that gap was kind of closing and closing and closing. Yes, we were making progress. We just had to kind of keep riding hard, and saw two blinking dots on an uphill probably 10K away from the start of the parkour. And I was like, oh my God, could that be them? Is that them? What's, and all of a sudden we see them kind of confirm, yes, it's two bikes. And then they veer off to the left, and we saw a sign for a petrol station. So we kind of like slow roll past there, look to the left. We saw them for the first and only time in Belgium getting water the first night. And I knew their jersey, and I just saw, that's them. There's no question in my mind that's them. So then at that point, it was like full gas.
The switch was on. Like that was.
It was super fun. Just this really intense racing up these really steep, kind of narrow climbs. We have a funny story. We both lived in Bolivia, and we met at a bike race, a mountain bike race in Bolivia, getting on the piss after the bike event ended. And we saw each other one other time, and really, you know, I was leaving that year. I moved from Bolivia to Florence, Italy. And when I was in Florence, I rang him and asked if he wanted to do an event in Spain and France, the Trans-Pyrenees. So we participated as a pair prior to this, and kind of had an idea of like our riding styles and levels, and we had fun. We had a lot of fun. So it seemed like right off the kind of end of that event, there was just this kind of momentum and interest. And so we've been signed up for this event for 3 years, and it's kind of been this thing that's lingering, and kind of just get it out of the way, like we need to get this thing out of the way. And so that's how it started for me, and this has been really kind of a beautiful ending to what's been a 3-year journey to get here.
Welcome to the finishers' party. A grand hotel restaurant is packed with riders, their strange tan lines and hastily purchased outfits clashing with the marble floor and delicate canapes of the setting. This is the transcontinental community in all its glory.
Amazing to see so many of you here. I'm definitely going to cry. Okay, so after one of the longest, toughest transcontinentals, this is our opportunity to celebrate everyone in this room, everyone at home already, and of course, everyone still out on the road. The front of this race has been one of the most exciting yet. We were left guessing as to who might be first at the finish until the very last. While the riders provided the drama, looking at you, Stefan and Theo, wherever you are, and the excitement, the volunteers of TCR number 8 are the glue that holds this whole race together. Without their dedication, enthusiasm, and bloody hard work, this race would not be possible. And I'm sure you'll join us in showing your appreciation. First of all, we'd like to recognise and celebrate the winner of TCR number 8, Christoph Strasser. Christoph won because he perfectly balanced.
We caught up with Christoph away from the hustle and bustle of the party to get his thoughts on his experience.
All emotions I had have been on the road out there. So realizing that it's really going to happen, that I'm really going to be the first one to cross the line. It happened a few hours before. It happened on Romania when I realized that now I'm in the front and the other ones behind me are having a difficult time and losing some time and I'm gaining a few hours on them, and I'm going to make it on the ferry and they maybe will have to wait until tomorrow. So when I realized that everything is going fine for me, I had really big emotions. It's so great to be in the adventure. It's so great to be on the road. It's so great to be in the moment of riding. And when you reach the finish line, that journey is ending. And you know that being on the way is better than reaching the finish, because reaching the finish is like end of story. And I think it's because of that. I was catching the front runners, Ulrich Bartholmös and Adam Bierlecht. Both of them were at the front of the race for the whole race, and they've done really, really great. And I was like 9 hours behind in checkpoint 2, and I think only 3 hours behind in checkpoint 3, and I've catched them shortly before checkpoint 4. And it was very tight until the parkour of checkpoint 4. I knew the area from training, and because like 2 months ago, when exploring the routes and do the route planning, I knew that this would be the deciding part of the race, the parkour 4. And that's why I went there to train. And I think it helped me, because I knew the last kilometers before the parkour, after the parkour, what about the little shops and the stores and the places to sleep maybe, and the roads you take. And yeah, I think that was helping me really.
How does this win compare with the other ones that you've got in your palmares?
Yeah, this one is so special because it's a absolute new experience, and I was not the favorite before the race, maybe for some people, but not for myself and not for for a lot of people. And I did not expect it. I couldn't believe it that I will be the winner. I had no pressure, and it's just a very big surprise. It's like the biggest surprise of my life in cycling, and this is so special.
What's your biggest takeaway from this race?
Definitely the people I got to know, and the people doing that race, and all the personalities from all over the world being part of the race. On the one side, there are so many great athletes in the top of the race. It's really such a tight and tough competition, and on such a high level physical fitness. Yeah, I found a lot of new friends and a lot of people I really like to share the stories with, seeing so many people sharing passion for this sport, but in completely different ways. There are like people a little bit chaotic, people really planners, people without a plan. Everything is possible, you know. You can do this race with loads of training, with 20,000 kilometers of training, but you can also do it with just 3,000 kilometers. You can do it with a carbon pro bike, you can do it with a very old steel bike, you can do it with a fixie, you can do it with I don't know, there are so many possibilities and so many different people, and that's really great.
And what's next for you then? Will we see you at another unsupported race sometime soon?
I'm not really sure what comes next. So the next thing is having a beer on the finisher party. And then I will take my time and think about what is coming next. I'm not really sure. But I really, really love it.
Award number two. So award number two is for a face that many people in here might not have known before this race started, but I'm pretty sure everyone is going to recognize after it's finished. So Amrei Kuna. Amrei, this award is for riding constantly in good spirits, the gratitude that you showed to the volunteers throughout the race, an absolutely amazing finishing position, and frankly, solving problems and doing it with a smile on your face throughout. So congratulations.
Awards are traditionally handed out at the party to riders who have exemplified the spirit of the race. It's a core ideal that race director Anna Haslock has worked hard to nurture and goes beyond just the race itself. With TCR number 8 coming to an end, so does Anna's time as race director.
How do I feel? Mixed emotions, as it's been throughout. So this is my last one as the race director, and it's been a hard one. It's been a hard one for the races, obviously. It's been a hard long one for the races, and I've found it hard. But things have happened as well, you know, like riders have been in hospital, riders are still out on the road. As a race organiser, that never leaves your mind, and that's always the same. But I guess for me, that's something that weighs on me, and of course has since losing Mike, you know. It was an easy and hard decision to carry on the race, and it was an easy decision because he actually told me that he would hoped it would carry on. Weirdly, you know, we'd never talked about stuff like that before, but he actually did say that time when he went out to do the Indian Pacific Wheel Race, he said, if anything happens to me, I'd like to think the race will continue. Just said that. It's what he wanted before what happened to him, and that's all I knew. And so that, you know, that's always been part of why I'm here, and why I'm doing what I'm doing.
What do you feel about what TCR has become for a lot of people? It's 10 years old. What do you feel about how the race has impacted people and what it's become in the ultra distance scene?
I'm super proud. I'm so proud. Mike was an amazing human. I'm not surprised that what he invented has become this awesome thing. But, you know, I'm obviously super proud of what he created, and I'm proud of me and everybody else who's kind of come together around me and with me to sort of cement his vision and his ideas. I feel like I went for the things that I thought were the key elements of the race, which is giving people the opportunity to really find out who they are and what they can do and what they're capable of. And, you know, for me in life, like, adversity gives you the opportunity to learn that you are more capable than you think you are. And that's what this race is really about.
Stepping down as race director, what are you most proud of that you've achieved during that time?
Mike and I shared a lot of the same values. You know, we cared about equality, fair play, being a good human being. And celebrating that in a race, you know. Honestly, I never was very interested in sport my whole life. It's not been something I've been at all interested in. And I missed the value of sport. I missed that value of sport. I didn't really get it. And meeting Mike and understanding through this race what you can teach and what you can learn through sport has really opened my eyes, you know, and to the value of celebrating, you know, equality and respect and fair play and, you know, all the things that sport can, the great sides of sport. You know, it's not about your ego. It's really not. But this race, isn't about, you know, somebody wins it, but they win it through being an all-round, capable human with a bike. You know, that's how they win it. All those other people are doing the same as them. You know, they're handling adversity and they're overcoming adversity, and, you know, and if they're doing the race right, they're respecting each other. And to me, that's the big thing. It's that we're all here to create this race. It's a project. It's a play. It's a whatever, you know, it could be anything. We've chosen sport. It's something that we're all doing together. And in order to make it work, we have to play our part. And we all have to play our part to our best ability. And if we do that, it's awesome for everybody. And to me, that's a metaphor for life. It's a metaphor for society. And yeah, that's what I love about it. And that's what I feel like we're all doing.
Another tradition of the transcontinental race is the maglia nera, or black jersey.
Frank Proud, cap number 155. The black jersey is for the person who arrives at the party, the last person to arrive at the party before everything closes down and people go to bed. Yeah, I believe it goes back to 2014 in Istanbul. I think it's happened every year. I never expected I would win it, but there you are. Twice, started twice and finished once. I did it in 16. I did it in 16 and I knew nothing. I knew some things, but I did a completely ragged event. I was all over the place. And I've learned so much since then, and I thought I'd like to do it properly and actually do what I'm capable of doing. And I didn't think it would take me 6 years to do that. But for various reasons, things happened in life and whatever, it has taken me that long. And so for the 6 years since then, I've wanted to come and actually do one where I could kind of do what I can do. But unfortunately, the course has got a lot harder. I've got a lot older. And my time is actually longer this time than in 16. But my average daily distance will be higher. When I was just talking to Anna before, when I finished the 16 event, I'd had like an hour a night for the last couple of nights of sleep on benches in Greece and Turkey and whatever, and I was away with the fairies. I was hallucinating. I really didn't know what planet I was on, let alone what day of the week it was. But today I'd had like 5 hours sleep last night, and I had a really good ride today. Power was quite high, as high as on the first day, and it was just like just such a smooth experience. Just diametrically opposite. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of learned how to do these things.
Yeah. The end of the party is not the end of the race. It's now 24 hours later, and a small group huddles around the glow of a laptop at the finish line, watching the dots of a final few riders as they attempt to finish before the 11 p.m. cutoff time.
It's, I think if you enter Kosovo from a country other than
Syria. Yeah, I'm Ben Clay, and I'm the CP manager for the finish line. So Oscar Short, Cap 86, he's had some problems with auto-routing to the finish that's led him to miss the parkours a few times. So last night, he came, took a wrong road down through Atos and realised his mistake after about 30 kilometres, did a U-turn, got back onto the road that leads to the start of the parkours, but missed the right turn onto the parkours. And then he got to the finish this afternoon. We gave him the bad news that he had not completed the parkours, and he would have to go back out if he wanted a GC finish. So he had some rest in a hotel, and then he's gone back out. He cycled all the way up to the top of the parkours from the finish, but instead of coming back down the parkours, he's taken a right and again done the wrong route. I think overall he's probably done an extra 250 kilometres.
Guys, if that offer of a beer is still there, I'll take it.
That we can manage.
Great.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. Private card?
Pardon me? Oh, yeah. It's been a very, very traumatic and dramatic 48 hours. I had added on the parkour to the end of my route rather than. I have it as a separate file for everything else. So I came to a junction where it was straight on to Burgas or left, according to my Wahoo. Mm-hmm. And it was a dark, bumpy road, and I said, that'll be catastrophic. So I said, right, I'll scoot on to the finisher's party, do that, and come back and finish the ride.
Right.
But by the time I got to... some other town, I can't even think of it. I was knackered, so I said, I can't do it. So I just stopped there.
Right.
And then went back. But somehow or other, the data was wrong on my device. So I missed, I went longer, but I missed 16 kilometers of the parkour. So when I came here, thinking, I'm done and I'm very tired. I wasn't done. So it was not good.
how did they break it to you?
Well, they very kindly said, well done, you finished. Then I got some bad news. I didn't do the parkour. So I was trying to figure out where that went wrong. I don't know where. I'm sure it's my fault somewhere with it, but anyway, I don't know. So anyway, I mean, you know, I did consider not doing it, you know, but I wanted that number. I suppose I knew in my heart and soul I wanted to do it. I wanted to get it done, but I didn't want to do it. Yeah, overall though, you know, I mean, it's a wild experience, you know, and it is truly epic, you know. I mean, crossing whatever, 14 countries, 16 borders, a time zone, a continent, you know, in 2 weeks. It's mad.
Yeah.
Mad. And the funny thing is, you know, because again, my wife doesn't understand why I bother, because it's, and I, you know, it takes up so much of my life, the previous one. And, but I was explaining to her that in the previous edition, I pretty much remember every day. Now, I'd have to have a map out and say, and this happened that day, and this happened that day. And I said, I don't know if there's any other 2 week period in my life that I remember like that. So I think she was getting it that, you know, okay. Yeah. You know, maybe it's not so mad after all.
Andrew Phillips finished ninth in this year's race, and now he'll join the Lost Dot team alongside David Eyre to organise future editions. But tonight, he's a dot watcher, waiting for the arrival of a TCR legend.
Well, it's the last few hours of the finish CP, and we're waiting for Matthew Lifschitz to come in. And it's going to be the first time on, I believe, the three TCRs he's raced that he's going to come in before the general classification cutoff. And he's a lovely bloke. Lots of us know him, and we're really excited to see him rolling. And I think we'd see Mattia or Ayu possibly rolling in.
Congratulations.
Mama Mattia.
Thank you.
Well done, man.
Congratulations, man. Finally done it.
Step by step, finally I'm here.
How does that feel?
Forgot what I said at CP2.
Make sure you get your brevet card in on time.
Yes, yes. Not in a rush.
C'est une grosse idée aussi, hein. Mais on l'a fait, écoute.
Ah, Matty, how does this feel then to arrive before the cutoff?
Strange. Comment on dit imposteur en anglais?
Imposter.
Yeah, maybe I'm an imposter. Yeah. That's the feeling.
So yeah, just explain. So you've how many times have you done TCR before?
Three times before. This is the fourth, mm-hmm. and the first time just before the cutoff. But I have a line because usually I arrive just after the cutoff. And now I arrived just before the cutoff.
Okay.
So I'm in love with the cutoff.
Yeah. So it's not much different.
You're no, just the it's basically the same. No, see, the big difference is I don't have to send the tracker by post. I can give you the tracker and not waiting so long time. Take it for the first time.
Got it.
Yes.
Well done. Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, I saw you at CP2, didn't I? And I don't think you were too optimistic about finishing before the cutoff.
No, because like I said, I was expect to for the fourth time to be a little boring, always same place, always same man, and finally, after we discussed, the weather was nice. That was the sunset. I make some Stevie Wonder music on my bike, and I said, okay, let's go to see the sunset on Gavia. Found a Dutch friend that I meet in other race at the end of the downhill.
Yeah.
We decide to make a restaurant with pizza, with beer, and it was cool.
Yeah.
So I have just a call with my wife. She said, Bob, you're here, continue. I said, yes. Like I said, I really want to finish my history with TCR, and... It will be sad if I finish again with a scratch or something. So now, I can give this number cap to another person. Really.
So now you feel like you can retire
yes.
and you're happy.
Yes, now it's finished for me.
You are an imposter. You will come back.
We'll see next year.
For the moment, you know I'm not a racer. I'm just like we can say a normal person who attempt some... things bigger than me. My real passion in cycling, I'm a very regular randonneur, long distance. That's why what I am. Take photography, very long distance trip, wild. This is my soul. And now I have my kind of dream to have this complete in race time. Sure, it's an achievement. I'm not feeling, happy. It's an achievement. It's a f***ing achievement. Yes. Incontestably, c'est incontestablement.
Yeah.
It's a f***ing achievement. I don't attempt fourth time just like this. No. I really want this. Really, really want. My wife don't want I go for the first time. And she let me go. She understand. So I made a promise to my wife. I go back home with this. And then I back home with this. And then we can go to holiday.
Nice one. Congratulations.
It's been another incredible race. I really hope you've enjoyed coming along for the journey. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the start line for TCR number 9. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.